Welcome back to Business on 570 News, powered by Cowan Insurance. This segment is brought to us by our friend, Yo. We're joined in studio, as mentioned, by Andrew Abishar, an old friend of mine. And he is
old friend of yours?
Well, you're an old friend, but Abishar is actually younger, but he's a long-time friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of interesting things in his career. He's a certified financial analyst and accountant by trade. He and Tim Jackson's founded Tech Capital years ago, mm-hmm. which was an venture capital fund here locally, and now works for Tamaya, which is another venture capital fund. But Andrew and I were talking, I don't know, a couple of days ago, and I said, you got to come in and talk about this subject. And the subject mm-hmm. really is how SMEs can utilize the tremendous advancements in technological, like softwares, mm-hmm. to make their companies mm-hmm. more productive, get data out of the work they're doing. And this isn't just in technology, it's in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you coming on the show today, Andrew.
Pleasure to be here, Ian. Thank you.
Okay. Now, maybe, Greg, one of the things we always hear is especially for SMEs, the old system was you didn't have very much or early adoption or much adoption at all of technology by especially small and medium-sized business because it was so complicated.
First of all, you didn't have the space in your small business operation because you had this great big server you had to find room for. You had to buy the software, and I think Andrew, that's really the turning point because SMEs had great difficulty. That it was hugely expensive to invest in just the physical infrastructure that you needed to do some of these technologies around growing your business or making your business easier and flowing things. But today, it's more of a rental situation. So
yes, so you know, Greg, that's an interesting point. I like to say that when you and I started our working careers, if you wanted to adopt new technology, you'd have to go and buy software, mm-hmm. and then you'd have to pay to have it installed, which would be sometimes as much as the software itself. You'd have to go and build a specialized room, buy specialized hardware, build a specialized cooling system. Oh, and by the way, when that was all done, you had a specialized person to take care of the specialized room. And so it was vastly expensive to adopt new technology. Today, there have been a bunch of changes in the underlying process that allows what we call software as a service. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you were referring to. Today, you simply rent the software.
Well, you suggest in one of the commentaries that you sent, Ian and I, you talked about Salesforce, which is a pretty popular type of software that's being used now by a lot of companies. And it's extremely dynamic in its capabilities and what it can offer a company.
Absolutely. It's incredibly powerful. But what I think is more interesting for the small business company segment is that Salesforce is used by Fortune 500 companies. But you can cost effectively buy one seat. Right, rent. You can rent for one individual.
So if you're and I guess that's the example here for a listener. If you're a small business with maybe a staff of five or six, and you got two salespeople, you can have the same software, the Salesforce software, that the GM or the Fortune 500 company, and do it cost effectively without having to do that whole thing at the mm-hmm. at the front end. You can buy it and get it in utilization right away.
You simply need an internet connection.
So tell me, give us some examples, because I think this is always one of the things we try and do in the show. We have companies of 1,800 members approximately each of our chambers. We got companies that cover the landscape. What are some of the examples of the types of companies that are using this type of technology to, one of the examples you use actually is in manufacturing. Give us an example of how a small or medium sized manufacturer in the supply chain in advanced manufacturing is utilizing these types of technologies.
Well, so one issue that manufacturers I think used to struggle with is that this idea that there's a bunch of data in the machines that they're using to produce whatever they're producing. Large companies used to spend a lot of money extracting that data. Right now, in town, there are a couple of companies. Can I mention the names?
Yes, you can.
So,
absolutely.
So Magic Systems is a local company. They have created some technology that allows to companies to extract that data off the manufacturing floor at incredibly cost effectively, and they can roll all that data up and do analysis that they simply never could do before.
So how to best use or how to get the most out of their equipment, where there's deficiencies, where they can increase productivity.
We talk often, Andrew, about the productivity gap. And largely the productivity gap is there simply because Canadian companies traditionally haven't done the investment that they needed to do in order to stay up to date. What you're suggesting is this can dramatically close that productivity gap as well.
Well, I'd argue that historically a software company didn't actually know where their software was going, right? So they had to envision every possible configuration and permutation of the type of machine and the type of software that's running the machine, and it was so complex that they spent an awful lot of time simply building operational infrastructure. Today, it's these software service companies run on Amazon Web Services or on a Google Cloud or on an Azure Cloud with Microsoft. And so this is one instance, right? They no longer ship software to your site. They send one instance and you remote into that one instance using the internet. So now they don't have to worry about all this operational infrastructure issue, and they can think about functionality. They can think about doing really cool stuff for their customers.
And that really talks about tailoring it to your own company, like using that software and being able to figure out the specific parts of your company and how to increase productivity, that sort of thing.
Well, so I mean, let's be absolutely clear, the more customization, the more expensive it is, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just the fact of life.
My point is it works for many different companies because the software is designed and you plug it in and say, in my circumstance, it's still pulling a lot more data than you would ever be able to get before.
Absolutely. And it's a lot of it's self-service too. So you can configure all this stuff yourself.
There's a lot of resistance around SMEs, especially, and maybe we should even take the M's out of it. You know, the small business folks who are, 25, 30, 50 employees who are doing some pretty interesting things in their own business, but grapple with that investment side of things in trying to buy the right software or have the right software in order to advance their production systems and what they're trying to do. What you're suggesting is that shouldn't be a hurdle now for these small businesses, that there are platforms out there that they can invest in a very cost-effective way to gather the data that they need to advance their companies.
Well, that's right. You do become reliant on this stuff. So there once you make the investment.
And you have no idea where it is.
There's switching costs.
It could be in Las Vegas for all you know.
It should be in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, I mean, you should be attacking a server that is in Canada using a server that isn't in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things, I mean, we're doing a lot of work around the innovation corridor between Toronto and Waterloo region. There's this new supercluster funding, and the federal government wants to promote the innovation and innovation agenda. And one of the things that we're hearing it because the theme that I think we're going at it is really I think very powerful for this region is around the whole general concept of advanced manufacturing, because a lot of things fit into advanced manufacturing. One of the things we're hearing is the largest of the large companies, whether you're a Magna or an OpenText, I mean, the large companies, they're world class. They're using world class technologies. They're leaders. They're world leaders. One of the gaps that we know is out there is that SME, the small and medium sized business that are the supply chain to those larger businesses, are the ones that aren't adopting. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe the question is how does what you're talking about here allow them to up their game and be ready to be a supplier and work with those large multinational, billion-dollar companies?
Well, so at the risk of dating ourselves, at the start of our working career, there was this idea floating around called electronic data interchange. And this was something that GM was using and where the Fortune 500s were using. It was so vastly expensive that they could never get their small suppliers to do it.
Yeah.
And when they tried to mandate this sort of transfer of information, it would bankrupt the companies because it was just too heavy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, times have changed, right? And that's really exciting. I mean, I think I've said to you, it's the democratization of software, right? That it doesn't matter what size company you are, you can get world-class software to solve problems. In fact, to solve problems that you know, 10 or 15 years ago weren't being solved by computers.
So there's the one side of making your own company more productive and getting the most out of what you're doing and the most out of your equipment or whatever you're doing. But there's also the making yourself compatible for those other larger businesses. And you're saying that democratization is that a small business can get the software and have the tools to be ready to plug into a large company.
Principally because the communication protocols are now so established that there's no variation in all that.
No, I think the small businesses too. You don't. I know from my little operation at the chamber, I want as much as I can on the cloud. That I'm buying the services that I need, as opposed to having to invest in all this infrastructure. I mean, software infrastructure by buying the program and the hardware that I have to do to maintain it and run it. This really is making it so simple for small businesses to keep up with those Fortune 500 companies.
You know, Greg, when you walk into the office, you flick on the light switch. You expect the lights to come on.
Absolutely.
But somehow we are okay with the idea that our email server is down. I mean, that's insane, yeah. Right? Your email should be as consistent and as reliable as your light switch.
Yeah.
And you know, when you have email that you can buy from a third-party host that is always up to date, is always the latest version, is always up and running. When you have other functionality, you should never be down.
Yeah.
I mean, being down is...
I used to always get mad at my techie to come along and say, oh, the licensors are up in your Microsoft stuff, and you got to go out and buy all of these programs and get relicensed, you know. And then when the cloud service came out, Office 365, you know, we switched to that, and now Word and Excel and everything is kept up to date. You get a little reminder that comes up, oh, update your programs, and you click on it, and 5 minutes later, you're in sync with the rest of the world and you're completely up to date. I think it absolutely just makes sense. We need, especially as SMEs, we need to be taking advantage of all of that type of technology out there.
And that extends, that whole idea that, you know, you're always up to date extends to any cloud service you buy, right? I mean, occasionally you'll get a notice that says, you know, in Sunday between 1 and 3 a.m., you know, the service is going to be unavailable because we have to take it offline.
Right.
But this happens so rarely that you're just always up to date and reliable. Click on the switch, it comes on.
Yeah.
Now, maybe in the last few minutes we have, and I think it's important. We talk about these issues, but we try and get down to the thing. How would a business that says, you know, I didn't realize I can very cost effectively get access to these types of softwares, who should they be talking to? I mean, you've got a lot of us have an IT department or outsource. I'm a small business too. We have some, but those companies may not be the ones that would have necessarily the expertise. Who should they be talking to make sure they're getting, you know, the right information and can figure out what works for them? You know, like who are the types of companies they should be talking to?
Well, these days, whenever I have a question, I just type it into Google.
Yeah.
Right? But seriously, there are...
No, but that works effectively.
Well, there's a lot of information out there, right? Yeah. So, and you know, I have actually done that. I've, you know, had an issue that I'm looking for, and I say, well, there's got to be something out there. And sure enough, up pop, you know, a dozen different services, three of which are free and six of which you have to pay for, and you got to go through and figure out what the best one is for you. I think the awareness, you know, that these sorts of services exist, and you know, pushing your IT suppliers to come up with these solutions for you,
and I think
is important.
And I think the other piece is that some of us, you know, you need to get more comfortable with the cloud has those opportunities that you can cost effectively do that, and that the security is there for it.
I can tell you that I was involved in a company that sold a cloud-based computing service to one of the big Canadian banks, and it was managed. There was customer data was managed outside the firewall, and They had gone through all of the security audit, and it was a very, very long process. It's good enough for a Canadian bank.
Yeah.
The security issues.
All right, just before we go, tell us about Tamaya and that company, because it's a Vancouver-based company, but tell us about what they're doing and the investments you're making to try and bring this home.
So we only invest in software as a service. We only invest in this space. And we have a unique model that allows and we're publicly traded, right? And that does a couple things for us. That provides us the opportunity to allow everyone who is interested to invest in this space.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in a unique way that provides cash flow, regular cash flow, and for the investors. And there are, this is not just for, the accredited investor. You probably heard that mm-hmm. term before. The people who mm-hmm. have a certain amount of wealth. We do have products that are available for non-accredited investors.
Where do they find it on the exchche?
So Tamaya Capital is TCA, and certainly,
you're investing in primarily Canadian companies that are in this space, or your companies all over?
Right now, it's Canadian companies. In fact, because the company started in Vancouver, our portfolio is Vancouver-oriented or West Coast-oriented, but we are actively in discussions with some Ontario-based companies, and we should be able to do something like that.
Yep.
I just want to ask you one question. You made a comment. We were having a talk about where this might be landed, where the servers might be, and I mentioned, it could be in Las Vegas, and you should always try and have a Canadian server.
There are a bunch of cross-border issues that people deal with in terms of where the data resides,
mm-hmm.
I'm certainly not an expert on that, but. My sense is
that's more a be safe than sorry. It landed here, so that you're subject to Canadian.
Well, it's got then your Canadian proprietary rights, all of that kind of stuff.
There's a bunch of legal issues around that. I'm frankly not mm-hmm. the right person to talk about that, but
your trick deed tells you that's probably the right way to go.
If possible.
All right. Listen, we've really enjoyed you coming in today. We've been joined by Andrew Abishar. He's a partner with Tamaya Capital out of Vancouver, but a local entrepreneur in venture capital, have been with Tech Capital, and is a certified financial analyst and a good friend of ours. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. We'll be back with more on Business to Business on 570 News, powered by Cowan Insurance, right after the break.